Welcome to RGM. Are you in a band? Come and join us. Simply click on the RGM submission page, submit your music, and we'll sort the rest. This is it, the RGM Experience Podcast. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Carl Maloney, the host of this podcast. And the podcast is all about delving into the grassroots music industry and beyond. Speaking to interesting people within it and sharing that conversation with you, the listeners. Hey, how are you doing? You all right? Oh, I've got a cold. I know, again, I'm not going to bang on about it. I'm just feeling a little bit sorry for myself. It's Easter Sunday as I record this. Fresh from RGM Live last night. Yeah, had a cracking gig. The Matchbox just absolutely smashed it last night on the RGM Live stage in Manchester. And the times are changing, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Got some important information for you, the podcast listeners, for you today. Yeah, I'm spicing things up a little bit, and I've got a lot going on, so I need to let you know and give you a bit of an update, ladies and gentlemen. All right. I've been thinking about this for a while, and this is the 150th podcast episode, and I just personally feel it's the format, the way that I'm doing it, is becoming a little bit stale. I just feel like I'm having really, really similar conversations quite a lot and being quite repetitive. You let me know otherwise, you let me know how you feel about this, but that's how it feels to me anyway at the minute. And I feel it's time to spice things up a little bit and change things around a little bit. Not just here on the podcast, just at RGM in general, really. I'm definitely spicing up the way that we do and promote RGM live gigs. And we are happy to announce that we are moving all of our gigs now for RGM Live down to Oldham 33 in Manchester on Oldham Street. Can't wait for that. So that's the first of, like, you know, revamping things a little bit and spicing things up a little bit, I think. And we are going to be doing the same with the podcast. So this podcast is going to be the last one for a little bit. I'm going to be coming back. I'm going to be doing loads more. I've still got a fucking Zoom subscription that I need to use that I've already paid for the year, so I'm definitely going to be using it. You know, I don't like paying, not using stuff, you know. But I just want to have a rethink, and I'm going through a lot at the minute. I'm moving house. Well, I'm, you know, buying a new house and that kind of stuff. I'm buying a new house because I'm going to build a podcast studio in it. So I'm going to be back. And there is going to be the odd podcast. I've still got commitments to a few people that I'm still going to honour and all that kind of stuff. So there's still going to be the odd episode coming out each week. And we are going to come back weekly, I promise you. I love it. I love doing it. I've just got a lot on and I want to revamp things, spice things up a little bit, that's all. So I hope you could appreciate why I'm doing that. I don't know if that might be a massive loss to your life. You know, I'm not being over dramatic here. No one's died or out. But that's what I'm thinking about at the minute, ladies and gentlemen. That's on my mind. So at least I get in the new house, I think they'll be less frequent, the podcast. We're still going to have the odd one, as I say. But yeah, just thought I'd let you know my thoughts on that kind of stuff and the reasons for it. We are where we are. 150 of them. You know, there's loads in the archives that you can be listening into over the coming weeks. You know, if just dig in, check them out. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we've got an amazing band on his hands coming your way. We've got Vida. We talk about this in the podcast, but yeah, I had him on in Sheffield like nearly 8-9 years ago, something like that, at the Washington. And yeah, they broke up for a bit. We talk about that. And we had a great good chat with the lads, and they're just enjoying life at the minute, and they're just, you'll hear it a bit, they're very enthusiastic, they're very lively, they're just sound lads. So we speak to Nate, Colin and Jamie from Vida, that's coming up now. So I just wanted to update you on where we are with the podcast and stuff. We're still going to be here, still going to do the odd one for a bit, you know, keep it going. But I just need to get in this new house, get that sorted. That's right, that's, you know, solicitors are being solicitors. Fucking me about. So, as soon as that's all sorted and I've got settled, we're going to return to being back weekly. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is it's fantastic. I love these boys. Nate, Colin, Jamie from Vida. Take it away.
How's it going?
Now then.
Pleasure to be here, man. Yeah,
you're welcome. So you're on the book fast already then, are you?
Oh,
it's
Friday.
It is Friday. Yeah, if for everybody, we're not recording this in the morning a row. It is a Friday afternoon. It's been a long week for us all. You deserve a bit of Buckfast, don't you, lads?
Exactly. inspiration, man.
Yeah, there we go. So it's always nice to have a band on his hands. And Vida is a name I've been aware of for a long time, and I think it was. I'm trying to work out the year, and I can't really remember. It was about 8 or 9 years ago. We had Vida on an RGM gig down at the Washington in Sheffield many moons ago, and you came down all the way from Scotland and played our little gig. That was a good night, I think. From remember, I know I had some booze and that, but it was a good one.
We were trying to build our sort of relationships with folk back then, and we were going hard. We were just playing. Yeah. And we obviously met folk like yourself, and yeah. It was all memories we built. They were a wee bit blurry memories, I'll be honest with you. But it was all great nights, and you know what? It's been amazing so far. Like, it's been great, man.
Yeah,
so good. Nathan probably remembers more than I do.
Go on. What can you remember, Nate?
I can just remember trying to get home after the gig. Men driving back up the road, man. It was absolute Baltic, man. In the van, we didn't have anybody's tire that, eh?
So
we did after it. And it was frozen in the van, and it was jumped in the van on the way home, and it was fine.
And we're still here to tell the story.
And you're still going to tell the story? Yeah, all this time. So, you know, so longevity in a band is difficult. And I know you've had a few lineups on the way, because I don't think it was quite long after when the band kind of like slowed down and wasn't around for a bit. What happened there?
It's pretty much a bit of hiatus, eh?
Yeah.
But we're really, obviously, the few tensions, what happens within the band and out with the band when you're trying to do your best, everybody's trying to do their best and get to where they want to be. And if you all kind of align and all kind of do the same thing, then it obviously causes friction and it's not easy to kind of navigate it.
Yeah.
So I just had a wee bit of discussion, I sat down and then chose what was best for us and then move forward, and obviously COVID hit at the same time, which everybody was locked indoors anyway, so it was a kind of like incorporated the hiatus with us. Yeah. Because we were kind of in hiding anyway, we said, right, we'll go away and build our own studio. So we started working on building our own space with a control room or a rehearsal suite that we could go mic up and turn it into a proper recording studio. So I just worked our way through that and then come back, re-recruited the man himself here, CD, and a new bassist as well, and a new guitarist with Jacob, and pretty much just worked away, and we've been crafting away in here, just like trying to get back out in the road again.
Well, I do remember seeing the socials a little bit. It was a little bit, it was quite public, the breakup, weren't it, a little bit? How do you reflect back on that?
We're in our youth, eh? We're all passionate, man.
Listen, one thing I want to put out there is we are all good still brothers. We are still fine, you know, there's no bad blood.
And we still encourage Jimmy to make music.
You know what, Carol, you all met folk before who are passionate and love what they're doing. Sometimes it clashes, and you know what, hindsight's a great thing, but everybody's moved on in life and we're all happy and we're good.
And good, so, for a know, reason,
no dramas, man. We like to be nice and just talk about love, man.
It's not about fighting.
It's
too much war in the world. There's more about peace. That's what you're
all about. Okay, well, I'm a bit of a nosy bastard. I'm just going to hang around it for it just one more minute, if that's all right. Just hang around.
I know.
But so these differences can happen in bands, and being that tight and being on the road and having the problems that everybody has in their life going in around them, having your own personal life, heaven forbid, it can be difficult in a band, can't it, sometimes, if things are clashing and you've got stuff going on in your own world and you maybe don't see eye to eye on things anymore. It's the real world, isn't it?
That's it, man. We all grow, we all change as people. So it just happens.
Yeah.
And we try and keep everything moving as sweetly as we can.
Yeah.
And if there's too much carry on or too much friction, we need to try and get away with that. Eh?
Yeah.
Because that's a distraction then. Because you're no focusing 100% on your craft. You're no working on your art. And that's where we all align on that. We all want the same thing. We want to work hard at what we do. We're not saying that Jamie didn't work hard. We all worked really hard as well. But it was just a different alignment at the time. Eh? We all had a lot of different tensions, different goals in our life. And it just broke down in communication. Eh? It just wasn't ideal. So we made the moves we made, and then here we are.
Yeah, but it was so nice to see that logo back again and alive on the socials.
Thank
and see you by.
It was good to be back.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Unbelievable response.
Aye, man.
Yeah. So what did you all do when the band wasn't alive for a bit? Where did you all go? What did you get up to?
We still stuck together, but we just started building this place. Eh?
Right. Okay.
We had probably a couple of months, but. My dad plays in a band. He plays in a wedding band. So
no danger.
So obviously we moved in there, kept going for a bit, and then we found this space, transformed it into a unit of a place we could come and obviously make some music in that. So we kept going. I must admit, we did. We kept working hard. It wasn't until we really got the folk like Collins, Jacob, Evan in place that we were like, right, you know what? I think we need to do Vida again. That's what we need to get back going. You know, it was we kind of pondered we going with a new name. Me, myself, and Nathan. Obviously, we're sort of writing the songs, and we felt the songs were Vida songs, and that we couldn't put it or label it on anything else. And we wrote majority of the songs. You know, and obviously Jamie's songs got some amazing songs, but obviously we had songs that we thought, you know, we can play and we can make our own again. So. And the crowds have been responding great to the songs, and it's the same jangly music, the same. Yeah. Some of the new stuff's very sort of 60s sort of, and it's just different, I think, to what's getting played a bit. You know, the recording wise, because it's our own recordings, we can make them how we want them to sound. And sometimes it's hard to say, you know what, let's rein it in a bit, but sometimes we go too far and then we have to go, nah, right, let's bring it back. But we've got the time. Luckily we're not paying somebody big bucks to fucking use our studio. Excuse the language, sorry.
Yeah, it's fine, mate, say what you want. So it's like starting again. So if you would have rebranded, it could have probably taken you a lot longer to establish yourself again a little bit. Do you think? Was that part of staying as Vida?
100%.
Yeah.
Look, man, we could have went and done a different sound, and maybe, but at the end of the day, that was us. So
it was all right, there.
Yeah. It was just the right. So there was a lot of thinking on it. It wasn't just like let's fuck it.
We spoke to Jamie as well, because obviously he was a big part of Vida Journey and us getting to where we got to. So we sat down with him and says, look, we're planning on keeping the name, and he was like, when you go, boys, I'm just glad to be part of the journey with you, and that. So.
That's nice.
Tat off to him for being like that a bit at all. And it was good to catch up with him and that again. Play a couple of games of pool and stuff.
Well, that's good. So finding new people that are compatible with the Vida ethos then. So Colin, mate, welcome. It's the first time I've spoke to him in, well, ever. How are you doing, pal? You all right? how did you find it, you know, joining the lads and coming in from afar?
It's been... It's a smooth transition for me. I met Jamie first of all, and we had a wee jam down at your old place, and then just kind of all got on. So I came down and met the rest of the boys, and I think it's clicked. It's been the first rehearsal, really. Class.
Straight in, no problems. No problems.
Nah, not really. Nah,
I'm a shit stirrer. I'm just looking for stuff.
He's well. The man's obviously. I think this is
Scott for this.
In terms of where we're pushing to get to, like for you, it's obviously. I love the ambition you've got for us. It's the same. You know what I mean? You want to be. You're on the same. But in terms of like coming into play, it was just. I mean, you're maybe speaking about the new song we put it with Colin singing, but he could sing anything. Like that's for the best. That's his strength. He's not got a limit. He can take you. He can sing like. He just that's that's the best thing. He can
for me, like I'd never done gigs like Sold at King Tut's or whatever. So getting to come into this band and do things like that's been like best experiences of my life so far.
You've had it easier then, haven't you, pal? They've done all the hard work.
I'm just coming in and taking all the glory.
No, I love that. And, so how did you, coming back, you know, you've got your history and the lineups all changed and that kind of stuff. When you look back at the material you had, how did you physically make the decision with the old songs and the new stuff? How did you put some of it to bed? What kind of process did you go through as a band to, just to, you know, put a nail in that chapter? You know, that part of the band's done. We've got a new chapter now. How did you transition as a band, you know, putting some of the old stuff to rest?
Well, it's not even putting all stuff to rest. I think it's just a part of your library, part of your legacy. Yeah. So it was mere, we're constantly writing songs. Like every day we encourage writing music, and just like coming up with ideas or whatever else, and being creative in general. And what throughout the years, obviously, you've got good ones that you'll say, right, I'm keeping that one, I'll keep that one aside. So we've all done that through the time, and then we'll just bring them to each other with acoustic guitars, or be like demos we've done on our phones and that.
Yeah.
And then we'll introduce the song and say, right, we'll try and work on this maybe, and then we'll get a couple of nights in the practice room. And if it sounds like it's going to go a lot of potential, then we'll keep working. Mm. Or if it's no, they'll say, right, we need to work on that wee bit more, let's focus on this one. So I mean, just kind of, it's just a journey, really. Just want to basically create a catalogue of music that's for us, and we've written it all, and it's like, Vida is a collaboration of songwriters, right? We're all songwriters, and we all want to contribute.
Nice.
We basically write our songs, get them recorded, and get them out there and tour with them, eh?
Yeah.
So I've just been creative and enjoying ourselves, that's what's all good.
All the songs that we've played in our set now is stuff that me and Nathan wrote in Vida. Obviously, if Jamie was ever wanting to go and play the songs for Vida, was to get a band, whatever, you know, he can play his songs. So we're obviously playing new stuff that we've all wrote together, along with the old stuff. Like, so obviously, Nathan wrote Fade Away, and I wrote like A Place We Can Forget. So they're songs that we think, well, we should be playing them in the set. Mm-hmm. Just out of respect for Jamie as well, we're like, you know what,
I like it. I like the vibe. You're excited for the future, aren't you? I could tell that. I like.
Oh, I always, man. Always chatting about.
I love that.
I think the fact we've got a big, you know, we've got a lot lined up over the course of the year. It's something to look forward to every step of the way. There's never a moment where we can go, right, let's have a break. It's like continuous work, studio, recording, rehearsals, gigging. You know, it's a fast life, man.
It really is, and it's not easy as well, because, you know, it's not, you've got to be able to fund these things. You've got to be able to fund having a van and just getting on the road and recording, and now you've got your own studio there as well. So, like, how do you manage it all as a band? I presume you have to do like those day job things as well and that kind of stuff.
I'm not technically employed.
Yeah.
But I'm doing here every day, just grafting away and just trying to hustle it. And then I've retaught myself for the sound engineering and stuff like that. I've done like weekend courses and that. Because I was working full time, and then I had a bit of a golfing incident which stopped that. If you want me to give you a wee bit of detail on that, I don't know.
Yes, go on, I've got to ask.
Oh, no. It involves me rupturing my right testicle with a golf ball at a driving range.
So did you missed the ball and hit the ball?
Ricocheted off a metal pole and come right back off my driver. Ding, ding, ding.
Christ.
So I had complications since 2020, and I've just took every cloud with a silver lining.
He's a full-time musician.
Aye, just indulged in the creative arts now.
So is everything okay down there? I just feel like a boss.
I take it day by day, my man.
That's fine.
It's what you do, mate.
Yeah, fair enough. So I've been speaking to quite a few Scottish bands recently. Dictator, I interviewed recently.
Aye, man, I got the boys.
Yeah, two Scottish boys. And they're just telling me, like, there's no else around them, really. They've just got this passion for music, and politically around them, there's not much going on. You know, work's difficult. There's not much money around in these towns. How is it for you guys politically around you, away from the band?
Well, pretty much Clonmanshire is the second poorest county in Scotland, does it know, or Britain. So that's what you
think. Right. Look, there's actually loads of bands in our area. It's amazing. There's
something in the water.
Glasgow as well. Glasgow's music capital.
I don't feel like we've ever let it hold us back, if I'm being honest.
Certainly not.
Yeah. The area.
Yeah.
I mean, we've always been quite vocal with the whole Alloa thing. Alloa is a area where is the sort of district, the sort of Clickmannanshire, the wee county. So we say like the county rock, you know,
county music.
I mean, what do you think? What would you say? You've played all over, haven't you?
Talking to me. There's plenty of bands and that about here, and that there's a good wee kind of community between some of us and that. So that's class.
We all look after each other.
Glasgow and Edinburgh are great to go and play. There's hundreds of good venues that we want to go and play. Obviously, starting off at King Tut's and St Luke's has been class.
Were you in bands before then? Were you in bands before, Colin?
Say that again,
Were you in bands before?
I've been in bands all my days, like wee punk bands and mates mucking about kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I've been in wedding bands and all that kind of stuff. Been doing it all my days, like.
And how did you get into music, you first, like, just to hang around on the New Boy for a little bit then? So talk us through you know, your life before music, really. How did you get into it? How did it all start?
Probably originally through my dad. He got me into David Bowie quite young. He got me into David Bowie and going up to see Glasgow Rangers. And I think something about going up there as well, I don't know if you'll relate to this, going up there and the crowds and all the boys singing, and I think that had quite an impact. So those two things started it off for us. And then I got into like punk music, The Clash and Sex Pistols, and found out that you could actually just start bands and be in bands. Like, seemed like an alien concept when I was young. And then I'm just having to really look back to there. Just always been starting me bands and wee projects and writing songs. And
when did you first realise you've got a voice on you? When did you first realise you've got a voice on you?
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm still getting told I have. Basically, it was one of my mates came up to us in first year in high school and says, "Do you want me to sing in my band?" And I was like, "All right."
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how it started. And I've just been doing it ever since.
He used to be a wee school, now he's setting up a wee bit.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, people just find out they've got these things in a shower or something, don't they? Or they get into karaoke and just blast them out when they've had a few beers. Did you have out like that?
Well, I used to do a bit in the house and that. Anytime my mum and dad would have friends or family and all that, I'd be doing like Bowie impressions and that. Like.
And so you know, new members in the band now. Talk me through the other two. Is it another two lads that aren't here?
I'll give you an insight into Evan, the bass player. Evan used to come and see us play, and he was actually a fan of the band when we were playing before. He come, he was a bit younger, and one night he got into a gig, it was older, and he was pure buzzing about it. He was like, "I got into an older gig." And then one night we were having a drink up at the Royal Oak, which is the local bar. And Alloa, Craigie, Royal Oak, they ran the bus from Alloa to up King Tut's, sorry. But anyway, it was just pretty much met Evan up at the Royal Oak one night. We come down here, I says to him, "Look, we're looking for a bass player," and he says, "I'm going to be your bass player." Then wrote his name up on the wall, Evan Cameron, bass player, be that. And then that was it from then on. It was like, right, this guy's just saying he's coming in, so it's happening. And he's been absolutely brilliant. He used to actually be a singer in a screamo band, if I'll be honest with you. Like, we've got a lot of diversity going on in this group right now.
But he also cured like Gil Scott Heron.
He's got that, great music sense.
Such a broad taste of music, very class.
Very similar music sense.
Do you let him do a bit of backing vocals and that then, I always think now?
We're going to wait for album 7 before we get into that.
Concept albums,
And then Jacob's obviously been our best mate for a while. He was Nathan's guitar tech / Rory for a while, so
yeah.
He come in naturally, and he's brilliant. And he's got a good voice on him. We're going to be like the sort of, what's it, the Eagles sort of. We want to be very what's the word for it? You know, get the harmonies and just melodic music and that sort of
nice.
Thing.
So. Nice. Well, I do like to give the other members that aren't here a shout out on these interview type of things. So let's have a bit of fun with it. So give it. Tell us one thing that each member that's not here brings to the band, and tell us one thing that you'd change about them if it was possible.
Yeah, I start with Jacob, and I would rather he was on time.
And right, fair enough.
There, to do everything. That's me putting mine in.
Okay. There we go. That's fair enough. That's one. What strength does Jacob bring then? What strength?
Oh, he's an amazing guitarist. And see, he can write a song.
Enthusiasm.
He can write a song literally in a second. He'll say, "Listen, this is a James Brown song. I just can't believe it."
Writes about five songs in a minute.
He's a minute. But
great guy. Have a book.
You need to have a book with him all the time. See, write me the new.
Right. Okay. So, are we exaggerating by five songs in a minute here, or what? What's going on?
No.
Right.
Okay.
He's
honestly really, really good.
It's hard to drum along with at times. I don't know where he's going with the song.
Class. And the other one then, so what strengths does Evan, yeah.
No, I'd like to change about Evan. He's a Celtic fan.
Ah, right, okay.
Can't be perfect.
Right, okay. Well, we had Dictator on there, big Celtic fans, so do you have a laugh?
Do you know those boys? Boys and yeah. Like, I had no grudges with that stuff. Like, music stands above all that.
And, what would you change?
He brings so much thumpy
level headed as well, you know what I mean? He always brings a really good, from my point of view, he's always a really good, nice suggestion to something to sort of level the ground it. And his bass playing ability is amazing.
He's ideal class, and he's picked the right kind of tone and all that. He's got a half that bass, it's just flat wound and that is it's class.
He's messed about and he's sort of experimented to find what he likes, which I like. He spent a bit of time on his instruments.
Yeah. Well, let's have a little bit more fun as well and turn it on you guys that are actually here. So if you want to go around each other and say your strengths and weaknesses in front of everybody, that'd be quite nice. Let's start with you, Jamie.
So
a strength and a weakness of Nate, and the same with Colin, and then we'll go around.
Nathan's strength is probably he's a motivator. He's the guy who is constantly just reminding us of what we can achieve if we work hard enough.
He's good at keeping things moving and that, like, we can have wee ideas, and he's usually gets the ball rolling.
He's probably a big part of the reason why we've achieved a lot of why we have, in my opinion. Because if you believe it in your mind enough, then it will happen. And that's something he's always pushing us. And if there's one thing I would change, about him is he's a bit hot headed. Nathan, we used to call him Debate Nate because he loves to debate stuff, right? But you know what? He's got a great opinion on loads of stuff, but sometimes he just needs to realise it.
Yeah, okay.
He'll probably say the same back about me, so you
know. Well, we'll give him the chance now. Go on then, Nate. Take it away.
I don't like a bit like it. Sometimes he gives it gutty way enjoying himself.
Okay, fair enough.
It's not a dislike it, but I just think
sometimes.
You can make wiser choices, that's what it is, but it's not a bad thing. It's not I wouldn't say it was
He's like my big player, eh?
Yeah, nice.
But I love the fact that he's as passionate as me, and see with Colin, like, see having folk there that are able to help facilitate your drive as well, and help say, right, like, I've got this idea, right, come on, let's bounce off each other.
That's been one of the best things.
As I say, we're all cut for the same cloth, so we all really, really want the same thing. We just need to try and, like, dive, like, put the power into a direct place and focus the energy and then get it to the places we need to get. But it's like, we're all creative, so trying to grab, it's like, imagine trying to get a bag of wounds and grab them all and throw away. That's what it's like.
Yeah, and Colin, tell us about the other two then. Dish the dirt on the other two a little bit.
Go for it. I think you've heard it all, but they two, Jamie, isn't it saying, likes to go a wee bit rogue on the plan sometimes. We've been practicing a set for 3 months.
I'm not trying to make you. I'm not trying to make you break up again here, lads. I promise you. I'm just having a bit of fun, you know.
Also, thinks he's the singer in the photos that we take.
Ah, right, OK. Okay. Does he like to stand up front?
Big handsome guy,
but other than that, it's pretty much all good. It's amazing that you've built this amazing studio that you're in now, and I can see you've got like a, what's that calendar behind us? Is that tracking your album in the background? Is that what the chart is? Okay, fair enough. I'm not zooming in at all.
It's all abbreviated, man.
So tell us about what has this studio meant to you as a band? How much is it supporting the development of it?
Priceless, man.
It's a meeting place. It's like the HQ. Everybody turns up and does a bit, and we're always working on stuff. As Nate says, we're always making songs and working on ideas. And we couldn't really do that if we didn't have this place.
Yeah,
it just gives you the luxury of time and to be able to try things and make mistakes and
be experimental.
Yeah, but it's a major decision as a band, because I've spoke to bands like Oktoberdrift that have built their own studio, and it helps them fund their tours because they hire it out for a day, other people can record there for a bit and that kind of stuff. So you can help you cover some of the ever increasing costs of being in a band and being on the road. So it can do you use it for that as well, or is it just you?
Well, that's the plans. We're obviously right. Building to that.
Yeah.
We need material out there to advertise the place as well.
Yeah.
And then once we're on the tour, and then we can also get people in. We've got a couple of bands kind of looking to come in. Odd Socks for Glasgow and Cask for Belgium. So I've got a few kind of things on the go, but it's just building it. That's it. It's just like building a kind of business or an enterprise. Anything is to flare up and try to make something out.
Yeah. So having your own studio then, so how do you deal with the quality control? How do you know when a song's finished? How do you know when to stop mixing that fucking eye out? It sounds all right, leave it alone. Who makes those decisions?
It's a group decision, I'd say. Yeah. We have the last two singles have kind of been done differently each time because we're obviously experimenting with what we're trying to do. We're trying to find a kind of streamlined kind of set way of doing things. But we're getting closer to it. But we just kind of like get to a point where we're all happy with the sound and then say, right, let's get the release plan sorted.
Yeah.
But obviously we want to better the release plans, get more PR campaigns kind of pushed at the back of it. And doing the live scene, that obviously funds then paying thousands for promo and getting vinyls pressed and all that kind of stuff. So it's trying to get everything balanced so your live scene, your recording and your publishing and all that kind of balances it together. But
you've got all the socials, you've got to make a reel every fucking 5 minutes, you've got to do all that
help
shit.
Well, see, the algorithms, man.
Fuck algorithms. I talked about this on my tips for 2024. I think bands get, particularly like smaller bands, anyway, not like your guys, you're more established, but like people worry about what the algorithm is. And I don't know. I just think you can worry about those type of things too much when nobody really knows what a fucking algorithm even is.
Nobody knows how it works.
We just keep the content half decent and post stuff because interesting, hope that they get the best
and see what different folk like. Certain folk will like comedy videos or like animations or different things. You just put it out there and see what the responses are and then you say, right,
well, you can work out what's better videos. Work out what you can keep and use for another time or something.
And then obviously social media, there's loads of people out there telling you how to do it, so you just adopt some of their methods and just say, oh, cheers for that kind of bit of advice, and then you try that. If it worked, then good. If it didn't, then you move on.
Yeah, well, I was speaking to Dictator recently and they were just telling me, well, I brought it up because I just said I'm fucking bored of bands announcing stuff's coming out at 6 o'clock when it's just going to be a single or a gig or whatever. Just announcing, it's just boring. It's not very engaging. It's not very interesting just to be honest. How do you cut through all that shit and be and put how do you plan being original and trying to be above that kind of boring standard shit that's out there? Because I'm right bored of it. I don't know if you can tell.
It's a good question, actually. I suppose we've all sort of noticed that social media is different now to what it was when we were playing sort of 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the sort of video content you're looking for, and you know, the sort of announcement of like what you're saying, that to me, it should probably come from a promo video of early doors where you're working up towards an album, and everybody's releasing singles now, and then releasing 8 singles and an album with 10 songs on it. You know,
and everybody's heard 8 of them because they've been singles.
It'd be a greatest hits or something, you know, or a sing, you know, it's
It's just a vanity project, that, isn't it? It's just basically band saying, I need to have an album out. I need to fulfill that hole in my thing to have an album out. But if you brought 10 singles out, 8 singles out, and there's a 10-track album and 8 of them are singles, it's just like, oh, what's point? I've been around this fucking industry, and particularly like, you know, developing bands and smaller bands that are trying to get to the next level, and I've seen so much of it, and I'm just so bored of some of the content that's out there. A lot of people see what other people do and just copy it and think that's enough, but I'm more excited by what you guys are doing. You look like you're having more fun with it. You are doing the videos and that kind of stuff.
I was going to say, I'm just trying to have a laugh with it. Try not to take it too seriously and all that kind of stuff.
Like Fat Dad's another band. They're amazing online. They're just funny and they just fucking piss about and they just have a laugh.
Enjoy themselves, that's what it's all about. If people see you enjoying yourself, they're going to enjoy themselves. It's
a natural reaction.
Just so fucking bored. I'm just so bored of it. So bored of it.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with having the fun with sort of serious music, because we've spoken about this before. Yeah. You know, like with sort of the Smiths, for instance, like the sort of music and the lyrics, the contrast. You know, we want to have that sort of what's, you know, like when you tell me, it's sort of what's the word I'm looking for. You know, it takes a sort of weird twist, yet it's still got that sort of happy vibe, and that's a bit like us, because some of the lyrics in our songs are sort of quite deep. But the music's jangly and happy, so people still get the good vibes from it. So, I mean, it's a nice contrast to have, I think.
There's a lot of people that take themselves really seriously, and it's my art, and it's like, and they think people should appreciate it the same way they do, and it's just quite insular. It's quite egotistical. It's quite boring and dull sometimes. And I just like to say officially, you guys are just like a breath of fresh air. I love how seriously I just love from, and I'm only seeing it from afar as well. And it's why I've got you back on the podcast. I've said, yes, fucking Vida are back, and they're having a laugh, and they're here to fucking have it again. I love seeing that, and I don't see it a lot. Which I thought I'd see more of bands having a laugh than taking themselves so fucking seriously. It's
probably part of the industry. Because then, as you say, they'll see other people doing the same thing, so they'll just emulate that.
See, for me personally, we were in, like, Carol, you know, you've sort of followed us from before as well. Yeah. We've never took this mega seriously, and we got to a really good point with this. And that, to me, is an example. You don't, like, we were obviously taking it serious in terms of rehearsing hard and practicing. In terms of the sort of what you're talking about with the, you know, what you feel in your mind, we've just always been this happy-go-lucky daft bunch of guys that want to have fun and play in a band. So, and it's got us to, and I think, like you say, we've played with bands, you know, to talk over the years, you know, we've built great relationships with bands that are doing really good things at the minute, and that's just through us all just coming together and enjoying and talking about what we love, sort of thing, but also being able to go out and have a wee party, you know, enjoy ourselves.
It's like everybody loves to enjoy ourselves.
We met loads of great bands.
What do you think it is about Vida that stood the test of time then? And, you know, people have, you know, the fans have, you know, been patient, and you've come back, and they're still there all this time. Why do you think that is?
just the songs. It's got to be the music. Fade Away is obviously a massive song for us. It's in jukeboxes up and down Scotland in the smallest of towns that you would never even know the name of. And it's obviously, we recorded that and it just went massive. Obviously in the place, and then we've got Let You Believe, and probably Fade Away is that's been your song that's really, people hear that live, you hear them singing it, you see the passion. Recently,
that's wild. It's like they've been waiting to hear it for a long time.
It's going to have to beat that song, but that's your what would you say, recipe, I think. You know,
it's the formula for writing a song, if it's like, easy digestible pop song.
Don't want to be too cliche with it, like, but we want to also hit what people want to hear.
Well, I think there's a bit more to it though with you guys, particularly because I've seen, you know, particularly through COVID, some really big established bands just fell by the wayside during COVID, and I can name 10 off the top of my head, and where they just lost the momentum. And they were just about to go on, you know, major tours, you know, all over Europe and that kind of stuff. And the COVID took it out of them, and a lot of people forgot about them in a way. But that's not happened with you, and you guys have broke up way before COVID and stuff, didn't you? And then you came back. You came back more recent, and you know how many years was it? Like 4 or 5 years or something.
Before it would be 2019 to 2022.
Something like that. So I'm just really pleased for you guys that you've just picked up the axes again, and it's just fucking, and those people are still there. It's a special thing that I'm trying to explain why I think that's a thing, but I don't know if I can. I don't know if it's possible to.
You know what? It's the new generation as well. Be honest with you, there's a lot of people coming to see the band that maybe. And word of mouth is obviously massive for us, I think. Social media, it was slow at the start. We were thinking, there's nothing happening here. And then we released Different Storm, and then from Different Storm, people started talking again. I started noticing the Vida post coming up on my social, so that's a sign that obviously it's starting to build a bit of momentum. And then King Tut's was crazy. Other than family and friends, it's amazing. People travel from Liverpool, people travel from Elgin, people travel
Ireland.
There's still people who want to hear Vida, and that's I don't know where that's come from.
That's what makes us want to do it, though. People want to hear us, and we want to get out there and play.
Talk us through what it's like as young lads like yourself. The day of, you all wake up, you've got this gig at King Tut's tonight. Just talk us through a day with Vida before a gig at King Tut's. What do you get up to? What time do you start drinking?
Well, you need to.
We were actually sensible for this gig.
I couldn't get to sleep the night before because I was that excited. You had to scrape me off the ceiling. So I just get up and then text everybody, make sure everybody's buzzing, everybody's ready for it, and then get down the studio, get everything packed up, ready, double check everything, and then go to the van, and then up there, ready to go. Yeah. Get the sound check loaded in, and we just kind of take it as it comes. Eh?
Yeah. I actually got up and drove into Glasgow and got guitar strings for everybody. That settled the nerves a bit, and then I spent the rest of the day just trying not to think about it, to be honest. Yeah. And then eventually we got there. King Tut's, when you walk into the building, it's just got some weird sort of incredible sort of vibe about it that you can't really describe. But walk up the stairs, see all the names, and then went in and sound check. Had a bit of what would you say? We had the guitar out in the green room, singing a bit of Johnny Cash, singing all the classics. Get the vocal cords warmed up, and then we sold out King Tut's, so we got a whiskey. Get the bottle, mate. We got a bottle of Glengoyne whiskey, which is for King Tut's only. Beautiful stuff.
There we go.
So we all see the King Tut's.
What a buy energy
we're
selling.
£20 a half.
We all took a swally, so that's like a drink, a wee swally, and then went and played the show.
The first time we sold out, I'd scudded the bottle before we even hit the border. We're on tour. We done King Tut's and we're doing things at Manchester or something the next night. Yeah. And we had that thanked the bottle before the border.
On the hand.
Wow.
Amazing.
So,
and then,
I still put a lot of gigs on these days. And the worst bit of the gig is when the sound check's ended and the doors aren't opening for like an hour or two. And it's quite like it's a bit of a weird vibe, that part of a gig. How do you guys fill that kind of stuff? Do you get out of the venue, or do you hang around it?
We got pictures, we got fed, we had a jam, we met up with the guys for DF with a chat, met some family, met some friends.
Yeah.
And then it was actually quite a quick turnaround in King Tut's. Not much messing. Place started filling quick, so we had to kind of get out of the road. And then that's when the buzz comes. You know, you start feeling adrenaline. And then unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable gig.
So what more gigs have you got coming up? Is there anything you can tell us about?
So we've got on the 17th of May, we've got PJ Malloy's,
which is in Dunfermline, Scotland. Maybe for me, I'm not familiar with that.
We're playing there, and then we've just announced a tour with Jordan Allen and boys, the Deanies. So Jordan emigrated there to Australia for a while. We done gigs with him back in the day, and we all stayed connected, stayed pals. And there was a band called the Deanies, they're all immigrants as well from Britain. And they basically formed over there and started doing kind of touring circuits. And I'd been on Instagram, seen the two guys, and Jordan was looking for gigs. So I said, you heard the Deanies, give these boys a shout. So they went away, gave them a shout. So Jordan went to went and started touring with the Deanies. Yeah. And then they said to me, look, we're coming back to Britain. We want to get a tour, like a shared headliner together. And I'm like, aye, why no, man? It'll be a good laugh.
Nice.
So we've got Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, Dublin, Hull.
Doncaster.
And Doncaster.
And we've also got...
I've got a couple of other things.
Yeah, okay. So it's filling up. Your diary's filling up for. When are these dates again? You say.
So that's in June. So playing Doncaster the 14th, Tuts the 21st,
nice.
Manchester 22nd, Hull 23rd, Dublin on the 27th of June, and then we don't know about 28th, and then 29th it's Birmingham.
Nice one.
It's happening. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to Dublin. I've never been to Dublin before.
And what about this new album then?
Oh, is that the works? Been in the works for too long.
Whenever like you were saying at the start about that hi hat, just can't get the right hi hat.
Oh, okay. Okay. Fair enough. We'll leave that there. So you know, there's a lot going on in the band. The enthusiasm is still there. Just what more could you be doing now than what you're doing now? I don't think there's anything more you can be doing, is there? I'm just trying to pick on you now and call you lazy bastards, but I can't.
The only thing I would say that we could do here is if we were all no working for a man. Go in, like, earn a wage and then have to come here second to it. Just all focused on energy doing here, it'd be amazing.
One day.
I'll get there. But that's what we're working towards. Yeah, we're working towards giving everybody the creative kind of freedom that they deserve.
Yeah.
So we've spent probably majority of nights six till nine maybe down here. So it's
minimum of 3 nights a week.
And plus you're always writing your own time. Obviously I've got the guitars we sit in the bedroom, try and write a wee song, bring it down here, see if the boys like it or not. Nathan's the same, he's always writing. Colin's got a couple of songs there that he's writing. So I think for us is having the set there, but also making sure that we're working on new stuff. Yeah. Rather than just constantly playing the sort of old, because you can get a bit, not bored of it, but just, you want to keep stuff fresh, constantly keeping the music updating. Hopefully we can get the album recorded. We've changed the recording style, actually. We've been recording live.
Okay.
We've been recording live, all playing together, sort of just trying. Nathan's been he's been mixing it all. Nice. I think it's catch
more of the energy rather than... Everybody individually tracking, and
there's a lot of great albums.
You listen to kind of modern music and the way it's recorded is isolated track.
Yeah.
So it's just a drum take, a guitar take, a vocal take.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, if you listen to like Glenn Johns, the way they guys used to record, it was a full session, and then you would take away a lot of it and then overdub bits, and then you would release it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking to experiment into that kind of side of things and take that method on board and then adapt it to kind of more modern ways of working. So it's good.
Oh well, it's amazing times, and I'm really glad you're back, lads. I love your enthusiasm. I love everything that you're doing. I live in Manchester now, so I'll get that Manchester date off you, and we'll have some of that.
You're on the guest list, man.
Yeah, man, nice one. And is there anything that you'd like to share with the Vida fans that have joined you again after all these years? Just to leave them on a little message, and then I'll let you get on with creating some more tunes.
I would just like to thank everybody really genuinely. I feel like, I want to create happiness for folk, create memories for people coming to our gigs, bring folk together. And
the music does that.
You know what I mean? And we also want to keep connected to where folk and meet them. And we're still very, we're very humble. We realise where we are, but we also realise where we want to get to. And we need the fans there behind us to help that and push us.
And
stream the music. I know that people don't buy records as much, but see, streaming. Just thanking everybody.
Thank you. Big thanks to you too for getting us on this.
Totally, you're very welcome, lads. You're very welcome. I celebrate the bands that I see working hard online, because that's basically where I tend to live most of my life, trying to sort all this RGM shit out. Trying to keep up with it all. There's just so much going on. When I see a band standing out and just proper light enjoying it, I want to catch up. Go on, what were you going to say, mate?
Amazing. But like, I've been watching some of your stuff as well, man, and it's great. You've really, really, from when we were first first spoke with the sort of RGM to now, you look like you've really grown, and that's great for, and that's a great platform for us to be involved in. So
appreciate that.
Never leaves you, mate, does it? You know, it's a lot of work. I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it.
I appreciate your honesty as well.
Well, yeah, you've got to be, aren't you? I live in the real world, and you know, and people appreciate that too. And I kind of trying to treat RGM as being in a band, really. You know, just trying to find different pockets of people that are interested in music and introduce bands to those pockets, and just, I don't know, we just do what we do, don't we?
Music brings people together.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's a nice way to leave it. Right. So Nate, Colin, Jamie, thanks for joining us again. Keep up the good work with Vida. It's very impressive. And I look forward to the new album one day. Cheers, boys. thanks, lads. Nate, Colin, Jamie, nice one. Oh, it's good. It's great to have you back. You lads have a lot of fun. So, lads, if you're, lads, ladies, listeners to the podcast, anybody in between, do dig into the socials and check out Vida. You won't go wrong. They're a lovely set of lads and a great band. Will they have a new album? Yeah, right, enjoyed that. Right, enjoyed, you know, chatting to people like that. So that's it for a little bit, you know. We're going to be here, but not as often for the next few weeks. Just need to get in this new house. Can't wait for it. Just a bit impatient about the solicitor side of things. They're getting on my tits. But I suppose these things are sent to tryers. So as soon as I'm in, as soon as I get my internet sorted and that, you know, I'll have my new podcast studio. It might look a bit different and all, which would be nice. Get some lights and get my studio all built. And then we're going to be back with a vengeance for episode 151 at some point. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. As always, we really appreciate you, each and every listener that joins us on this podcast. It's very much appreciated. Thanks for staying to the end. You can watch the video of this podcast as well on YouTube. It's always there. And as always, delve into the archives. There's plenty to find in there. And from me, just for, you know, for a bit, I thank you for listening. And I'll see you soon. Toodaloo. Welcome to RGM. Are you in a band? Come and join us. Simply click on the RGM submission page, submit your music, and we'll sort the rest.
Hello. Did you know that you can support our podcast in many ways? Within the description of this podcast, you will see a list of all the equipment that we use. These are Amazon affiliate links. Clicking on these links take you to Amazon. If you buy whatever you're planning that week, we get a small kickback and you get a parcel at no extra cost. We would really appreciate your support. Or you can just go old school and donate a pound or whatever you feel is appropriate in there. Please subscribe, tell a friend about our show, and thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.
Or very soon.
Come on, Wednesday!